Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ilah Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Yud Dalid, we notice a topic heading, the Nosei, in the outside margin. It reads, Avodah Zorah, an idol, Shinishtabro Me'eleho, that crumbled on its own. In other words, the Gentile owner did not smash it. It simply came apart on its own. Machlokas Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, there will be a controversy between these two opinions. Ma dinom shel hashvorim. What is the law with regard to the broken pieces? Now, it has to be noted that an idol, a full idol, is something forbidden to benefit from. The issue here concerns the broken pieces of an idol that broke on its own. If the owner of the idol, a Gentile, came and smashed it, constituting an act of destruction, he in effect is canceling the prohibition associated with the idol, and it would be allowed to benefit from such pieces. However, we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with it's having broken on its own. So our Gemara opens up, Itmar, Avodas Kechovim Shinishtabro Me'eleho. An idol that broke on its own. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asura, Reish Lakish Omar Muteres. Rabbi Yochanan says it is forbidden, and Reish Lakish says one is allowed to benefit from the pieces. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asura, this idol that broke on its own is forbidden to benefit from. Dolo Botlo Av Oved Kechovim. The Gentile owner of it did not declare it null and void. Therefore, the original prohibition remains. Reish Lakish Omar Muteres. Reish Lakish says it'll be mutter to benefit from it, because it's obvious that the owner has declared it null and void. Meimar Omar, the Gentile idol worshipper owner figures, he gufa lo matzla, it can't save itself. L'didi matzla li, could it possibly save me? Esve Reish Lakish L'Rav Yochanan. Before we go any further, we should point out the triangle marking on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. You'll notice we have a triangle and a Ma'akav expression in parentheses. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. With the point facing up, these are Kushyos al Rav Yochanan. We'll be challenging Rav Yochanan's contention that an Avodah Zorah Shinishtabro Me'eleho is Osir. With the triangle flipped over, the point facing down, that represents Chuvosav, his responses. So now the Gemara. Reish Lakish asks from a Tanaic source, our Mishnah. You can see it's in a frame. Hakein Sheberosh Ho'ilon Shel Hekdesh, a nest that's on the top of a sanctified tree. Ein Nenin V'ein Moyalin. One is not to benefit, but one is not in violation of Me'ilah if he does. Sheba Asherah Yatiz Bekona. The nest on the top of an Asherah tree, one is to knock down with a branch, with a stick. My love, is it not to be understood, the Isbar Migufa, the twigs for making the nest, were broken off by the bird from the tree itself. Vikotoni, and it says Yatiz Bekona, that you shall knock it down with a stake. Well, you're knocking down the nest for your personal benefit. The nest, we're assuming, was made from twigs of the Asherah tree. No one voided the tree. The birds simply broke off twigs from it. That is the equivalent of an Avodah Zorah Shinishtabro Me'eleho. And we see allowance. Response: Loi, the icy eitzim me'alma. The Mishnah is dealing with a nest made of twigs brought from outside, namely not from the tree. Therefore, it's allowed. E hachi, question: if it is so that it came from outside, amai shel hekdish ein nehenin v'ein malin? If then why by the hekdish tree, the sanctified tree, does the Mishnah say that one is not allowed to benefit from the nest? If it's made from outside wood, what's the problem? Ella, so rather, you're not going to be able to give that answer. It didn't come from outside. Rather, begidulin haboyin le'achar mikan, with regard to the hekdish tree, you're dealing with a nest made from twigs that grew after the point of sanctification. A person sanctified a tree with its given size and dimensions. That is what's sanctified. V'kosavar ein molin begidulin. This is of the opinion that this Mishnah represents an opinion that there is no mi'ilah on that which grew afterwards. However, or in addition to this, so we with that we understand why the hektish tree, we say there is no mi'ilah, because there's no mi'ilah on the gidulin haboyin la'achar mikan. However, one should not benefit from it. With regard to the asherah, just like we said by the hektish tree, we're dealing with branches or twigs that came from the tree itself. And me'ikur hadin, one is allowed to benefit because you're dealing with an avodah zara shenishtabra me'aleha, and that's why it says in the Mishnah yatiz bekona. So that with all of this in mind, since we're explaining right now that the twigs came from the tree itself, as far as the hektish issue, the sanctified tree, we explain that as the gidulin haboyin la'achar mikan. And as far as the asherah is concerned, this the reason that the nest is mutter, it says yat is bekon, indicating that the nest is mutter, is like I say, says Reish Lakish, that avodah zarah shenishtabra me'aleha is mutter. Hachi nami mistabra. And it is all, and this approach is logical, is reasonable, that we're talking about twigs that came from the tree itself. In other words, the twigs themselves come from the asherah tree, and it looks very much like the tree itself. And the we figure as follows, that if he were to take the nest itself by hand without throwing up the stick to knock it off, we figure that he might come to take from the asherah tree itself, from wood from the tree itself. And therefore, the Mishnah says, look, the nest itself is okay because of the din of avodah zarah shenishtabra me'aleha. We want you to throw up a stick to get the nest off and not to take the nest by hand, because if you do take it by hand, you might end up taking wood from the tree itself. After all, the twigs of that constitute the nest and the twigs of the tree look very similar. If you were to think that the wood came from a different tree, amayat is bekona, why throw up a stick to knock it off? Mishkalei mishkal, why not just take it by hand? And therefore, as we explained, we don't want you to take it by hand because the twigs of the nest and the twigs of the tree look very similar, because after all, the nest comes from the tree. The nest itself is allowed because of the din of avodah zarah shenishtabra me'aleha. What we see from all of this explanation is that the wood from the asherah tree that was broken off to make the nest is allowed, and that's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Notice how the triangle flips over, and this is now a response in defense of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and we'll tell you that the wood actually comes from the tree. And as far as the nest itself is concerned, the nest itself is usur, because avodah zarah shenishtabra me'aleha is forbidden. Uma yatiz, what is the point of the knocking off? In other words, there's something that's mutter. The Mishnah indicates that there's something that's allowed. After all, it's saying knock it off, throw up a branch, and benefit. But benefit from what? Uma yatiz, what are we knocking off to benefit from? Yatiz efrochim, it's in order to get the chicks. You're knocking the nest off in order to benefit from the chicks that are in the nest. They have nothing to do with the... They ostensibly have nothing to do with the tree, and therefore they are that which is allowed, but not the wood. Omale Rabbi Yankiv, Rabbi Yirmiya. Efrochim kan v'kan mutorin. Whether it's a hektish tree or an asherah tree, the chicks are mutar. Beitzim kan v'kan asurim. The eggs in a nest sitting on a hektish tree, or the eggs in a nest sitting on an asherah tree, are usur. They, as opposed to the chicks fly and exist on their own. They don't need the tree. So therefore, the chicks are mutar. However, the eggs, which don't have any mobility, they're just eggs. And they need the tree. Otherwise they won't exist. So they're viewed as the tree itself. The Gemara continues, Omar Ravashi, im efruchim tzrichim le'imon, if you're dealing with very young chicks that can't fly on their own, they need their mother for their maintenance, kebeitzim domu, then they will have the same halacha as the eggs, and being on these forbidden trees, the eggs themselves will be forbidden. The Mishnah, hagizborin shelokhu etzim. Gizborim are the temple treasurers, the people in charge of the finances of the Beis HaMikdash, that bought wood for the purpose of making beams. They bought wood from a forest of chulin, a non-sanctified source of wood. So they bought the wood, moilin be'etzim, there will be mi'ilah with regard to the wood, because the temple treasurers are buying... they're ostensibly buying the wood with holy funds, so the wood becomes holy, becomes sanctified. So there is mi'ilah with regard to the wood. V'ein mo'ilin lo b'shipuye v'lo b'neviyah. However, with regard to the sawdust that results from the wood that's made into beams, so there's a sawing down, that's the shipuye, and the neviyah are the leaves. That does not carry with it any mi'ilah violation. When we speak about the gizbar, the temple treasurers buying holy funds, what they're in effect buying is they're buying that which is needed for construction, not the sawdust nor the leaves. Our sukkah opens up with Shmuel's halacha. Omar Shmuel, boinin b'choil v'achakach makdishin. When construction would take place in the Beis HaMikdash, Shmuel tells us that all of the building materials were bought with unsanctified funds, or the Beis HaMikdash got their building materials from they got it on credit. Now, after everything was completed, then they would sanctify it. How would the building become sanctified? They would bring mo'os of hekdesh. They would bring holy funds, money that had been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. They would bring we'll call them holy funds, an amount of money that equals the building materials themselves, the increased value in the fact that a structure was made, and the fee due to the workers, They would bring holy funds that accounted for all of that value. And they would then say that the sanctity in this holy money is to be transferred to the structure, thereby freeing the holiness, freeing up the cash from the holiness that they had. And they would now use that money to pay off the people that extended to them materials on credit. So Shmuel is saying that the during the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, or during building activity, things were done in a called an unsanctified state. Sanctification took place only later on. The Gemara asks, "My taima, why is it that we would be boinin b'chol, build in this fashion, in the mundane fashion?" You'll notice we have a house shape, and this is explained on the outside margin under our no same in the heading, the house, and here it's numbered as number one. You can see that in the space to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text on Amit Beis. You will notice there is a number two, where Rav Popa's name is featured with this house marking. These are explained under our Noseim Mivne heading, Ta'amim, reasons, Lahasbir, Dino Shel Shmuel, to explain what Shmuel is saying right here, Dehoyu Boinin, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Bechol, that the building took place in this unsanctified state, V'achakach Magdishin, and only later on would there be a sanctification, Dehoyu Ma'avirin HaKedusha, that's Poidin, Mimois Kedoshos Al HaBinyan. Only later on they would transfer the kedusha from the money to the building. So now the question is asked, why? The first approach is in the Gemara, man de misnadev mois, one who dedicates money, makdish lehu, he sanctifies the money. The money then is immediately sanctified, being that that's the case. One cannot take money that has sanctity on it and go buy materials with sanctified money. That would be me'ila. In other words, the vendor who's selling unsanctified chulin stuff in exchange for holy money, that would be an act of me'ila. Therefore, what must be done? Lefikach tzorech shiomar. Therefore, it is necessary to do the following. After the building is built, you then say techol kedushas mos abinyon. We want the sanctity on the monies to be transferred to the final construction, to the binyon, to that which is constructed. And now that that's done, the money becomes freed up. The money would then be given to the workers for payment of their services. But all of this is after the fact, after the building has taken place. As we said before, this one could not use holy funds for payment for materials for that which is not complete, because that would have been an act of me'ila. So as far as this Gemara is concerned, we're focusing right now on Shmuel's halacha, that boinin b'chol v'achar kach makdishin. The Gemara asks a question, meisvei. We have to point out before we study the Gemara itself that the details, and there are quite a few of them, are found in the Rashi. So as we go on in the Gemara, let us emphasize again that we'll have to learn the Rashi in order to appreciate the question. Before going on, some background information is necessary. And that is that there was a Ktoris offering made on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ktoris was prepared, even though there is a bit of a discussion about this in Maseches Krisus, for our purposes we can say a lump sum, a full quantity of Ktoris was prepared for a year's worth of Ktoris was prepared, and at the end of the Beis HaMikdash year, which was from the beginning of Nisan, from Aleph Nisan till the next Aleph Nisan, at the end of the year, there would be leftover Torahs. How that comes about is not really important for our discussion right now, but there was something called Mosar Torahs, the leftover Torahs. That's one point to be aware of. Another point to be aware of is that things used as sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, public sacrifices, they were purchased from that year's funds, or we'll call it the newly collected funds. That being the case, Ketores that was prepared for a given year, if there was leftover Ketores, one wouldn't be able to use that straight off for the new year, because it wasn't purchased from the funds that were collected for the new fiscal year. And by the way, the collection process of funds for the Beis HaMikdash took place in the month of Adar, being the month that precedes Nisan. What would be done with this Mosar HaKtoras, this leftover Ketores? So as a general framework, our goal right now is to somehow get the sanctity off of the Mosar HaKtoras, enable it to become mundane, and then eventually be purchased with funds that were collected for this year's fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. That is all by way of very general background. So we have a Tanaic source that says Meisveif. We're raising a question on Rabbi Yochanan, but as far as to see the question itself, that will take a little while till we get to that point. But we have a Tanaic source that's enclosed in the frame in these next four lines. And it says, Moisar HaKtoras Ma Hoyu Oisin Boi. What would they do with the balance of the incense offering, or the incense made for the Ketores offering? What would they do with it at the end of the fiscal year? So the source says, "Hoyu mafrishin mimeno schar ha'umnin." The value of the work of the artisans was set aside. Umechalin oiso al mois ha'umnin. The Mosar HaKtoras was its sanctity was transferred to money that will be paid to the workers. So that gets the sanctity off of the Ketores onto this money. The noisnin oiso l'umnin. The unsanctified or now desanctified Ketores would be given to the workers. The chayzrin v'noiglin oisa mitrumo chadasha, and it was then bought back from the workers with funds that were recently collected from the new fiscal year's collection. That's the Tanaic source as it is. Within this source, there's information that will lead up to a question on Shmuel. But before we can do that, it's necessary for us to learn the Rashi that's relevant to this particular source. We look at the Rashi on the third line from the top. Mafrishin mimeno, mimosar Ketores, an amount of Ketores, of the, we say the leftover Ketores, keneged schar umnin, equaling the value of the work of the artisans building the Beis HaMikdash. The kosalka daitoch, now this kosalka daitoch is an expression that whenever you see it in the Rashi, it's supposed to arouse your attention, a special attention. This is a havamina, a thought, and based on this havamina, we will eventually build our question. The kosalka daitoch, the la'alter kishekonu tzorchei habinyan, the thinking is that as soon as they bought the materials for the building, miad hoyu mechalin mois hektish b'shas kniya alo eitzim alavonim ve'al kol tzorche habinyan shekonu. that as soon as the materials were bought, the Kedusha from the money was transferred to the building materials. Uporin, and the people were paid off with the money that has now had its sanctity transferred to the building materials. And then the building would take place, the Kodesh. Now that is going to be a problem for Shmuel if we make this assumption. Avol, lo scharu umnin shebonim bebinyan, as far as the value of the workers, the fee for the workers themselves that were involved in the construction, that was not paid for. Shakol hoya kodesh chutzmin ha-shevach shoyo umnin mashbich bebinyan b'chol yom. The materials were sanctified, but not the increased value that was created by the workers whose work took place every day. Ubechol yoim hoyo hagizbor mevi mois hektish kishiyu hashevach shishbichu umni bebinyan. And every day the gizbor would bring the treasurer would bring sanctified monies equivalent to the value of the increased value of the construction that has now been realized every day after raw materials built into another level of building, so there's an increase in value. It's not raw material anymore, it's part of a structure. So that increased value was recognized, and money that corresponded to that increase in value, money that had sanctity was had its sanctity transferred to that construction. So on a daily basis, this would happen again and again. The value of the increased value became sanctified through the transfer of kedusha from these monies. V'hainu taimo de oisin kein b'chol yom mishum taimo de amoron de madem esnadev mos v'chulei. This would take place every day because the money that was originally dedicated had kedusha on it, because people who dedicated their money dedicated, obviously, were sanctifying the cash. V'hoyu hamo'is chulin. After this transfer took place, the cash then became common, mundane. V'abinyan kodesh, and the structure sanctified. Avolo hoyo hagizbor noisein lohen hamo'is la'altar. However, the money was not given to the workers immediately. This would, in other words, their salary, if you will, would accumulate because of the rule that schirus payment for services is not paid until the end of the entire building. Shadayin lohoyashom moisar haktores michalin al hamois. At that point, there wasn't extra ktores. Avo kishemagia Nisan. When Nisan came about, which is the beginning of the new fiscal year, shiyesha moisar ktores. At that point, there was extra ktores, the leftover ktores that was not used for, during that year of incense offerings. The new year's incense offerings would have to be purchased from newly collected funds. Michalin oisoi moisar haktores, the sanctity of the moisar haktores would be then transferred al oison mois chulin shiyesh biyah hagizbor shechilel al hashevach shishbicho umnin. Remember, we had spoken about monies before that had sanctity on them. Those monies had their sanctity transferred to the construction of that was being done throughout the year. So the monies were now freed up; they became chulin. What would happen at this point when Nisan comes about? The mosar ktoras, the leftover incense that happened to have sanctity, that sanctity was transferred off of the ktores onto these chulin monies, these monies that we referred to earlier, sort of like a ping pong, if you will. The monies originally were had sanctity. That sanctity was transferred to the construction, freeing up the money. Now we have to deal with the Mosaf Torahs with its inherent sanctity. That was now transferred to those freed up funds. Vaviyak Torahs Chol Umos Chazru L'Kedushasan. The Torahs now became mundane, and the money returned to a state of sanctity, kibatchila, like it was originally. The chayzrin v'loitchen haktoras min ha'umnin mitruma chadasha. Now that mosar haktoras, which we mentioned quite a bit earlier, we had mentioned that mosar haktoras was given as payment to the workers, but that mosar haktoras happened to have sanctity. It was now. Let us correct ourselves. The Mosar Haktoras had been redeemed, that we just mentioned a moment ago, on the money that was chulin. Now that the Mosar Haktoras had its sanctity removed, it was then given to the workers for their services, and it's currently mundane, and now it would be repurchased from the workers with the newly collected funds from the new fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we go back to the Gemara, having understood the whole process of what we did with the Mosar Haktoras. The Gemara asks, if Shmuel is correct that the entire construction of the Beis HaMikdash was b'chol, and only at the end was it sanctified, ve'amai, then why did we do things the way we described? Lichle abinyon. Take the Mosar Haktoras and its inherent sanctity and transfer the Kedusha from the Haktoras onto the building, the building that was chol. That would, in effect, that would sanctify the building. And that this suggestion is, instead of doing what we did, having the money that was sanctified transferred onto the materials as building was taking place day by day, we could cut out that whole step and simply take the Mosar Haktoras and transfer its sanctity onto the building, if it's so that the building took place b'chol. The Gemara answers that Shmuel's din remains, namely that the building took place b'chol. If your question is why didn't they transfer the Kedusha from the Mosar Haktoras onto the building, is the lo iko binyan, because that year there was no building. The Gemara asks, so how can you say that year there was no building in regarding this source? V'hal mois humnin kotoni. In the source it says, it makes reference to monies due to the workers who were involved with the building. The Gemara answers, Deleko binyan kishir mos. There was building, but it wasn't the equivalent of that value. This answer of Deleko binyan kishir mos is elaborated upon in the Tosfos. We have a star in the Tosfos, where you can see in the lines under the Gemara text, you'll see about the sixth line under the Gemara text, or fifth line under the Gemara text in the Tosfos commentary, he says as follows, Umishani, Deleko binyon kishiur mos. Don't forget, we're trying to preserve Shmuel's approach that the entire binyon took place b'chol. And the question had been that if he is correct, so then why didn't they just take the Mosar Haktoras and transfer its sanctity onto the binyan that was b'chol, making the binyan, the structure, now sanctified, and thereby removing the sanctity from the Haktoras? enabling it to be purchased with the new fiscal year funds. So we explain now that the leko binyan kashir mol. And Tosfos says, "Umishani the leko binyan kashir mol shel k'tores." The amount of building that had taken place that year was minimal, and therefore it didn't equal the value of the k'tores. Pirush in hachinami devada yesh binyan chol. There definitely is binyan, but it's chol. Midiktoni scharulnin. We realize that that artisans were involved with building. As it says in the source, ach ein binyan kashir mos shir shoktoris. However, you don't have enough construction that equals the value of the k'toris. Ulekach tzorach lahafrish mois mitrumas halishka kashir haktoris. Therefore, it was necessary in order to get the kedusha off of the k'toris. We didn't have this option of transferring the kedusha from the Torah onto the binyan. Therefore, the monies that had been freed up, as we mentioned much earlier, the monies that had been freed up that are now in the temple lishka, in the temple treasury, so those monies were set aside, kishiur haktores, that had the same value as the mosar haktores. Now, and that money was set aside lischar ha'umnin. So that's why it was necessary to go through this this process that we just described. So just to review the main point, the main answer, and that is that the binyan really took place b'chol. If you'll ask, so why wasn't the mosar k'toras transferred? Why wasn't the sanctity transferred on the binyan? Because it was a minimum amount of binyan that took place. Therefore, the monies were set aside from the treasury, and the Torah's sanctity was transferred onto those monies. At that point, the Mosar K'toras was chulin, and that would be given to the workers, and that would then be bought back from the workers with the Truma Chadasha. The Gemara asks, but still, the Omar Shmuel, Hekdish Shove Mona Shechil Al Shove Pruta Mechulo, so what? The value of the building was minimal relative to the value of the Mosar HaKtores. Shmuel teaches us that even if there's a major discrepancy value-wise, Pidyon can take place. So let us say that the value of the Mosar HaKtores was much greater than the amount of binyan that took place. Still, you could take this very costly Mosar HaKtores, its sanctity, transferred onto the minimum amount of building, and that would be a sufficient method of redemption. The Gemara answers, Hani mi l'di avad. Shmuel's din is true only post facto. However, l'chadchila lo, but to go ahead and say outright, make this this pidyon, this redemption, at this great discrepancy, even Shmuel would agree that cannot be done. Therefore, in this particular Tanaic source that we saw above with regard to the Mosar K'toras, that option of transferring the Kedusha, the sanctity, from the Mosar K'toras directly onto the binyan, that was not an option. However, we must emphasize, and this is the main point, that the construction of the Beis HaMikdash took place b'chol. It was done using unsanctified materials, and no sanctity was imposed upon it while it was being constructed. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Papa Omar Hainu Taimo Deboinin B'chol. A second explanation for Shmuel's halacha: Lo Nitno Torah L'Malachei Ashoris. The Torah, with all of its teachings and restrictions that it conveys, is done so with the awareness that it wasn't given to service angels. In other words, we're dealing with human beings, and there's a limit to how careful a person can be as he goes through life. And now we'll explain how this has relevance to our discussion. Amri Dilma Boy Lemizga. There is a fear that if the construction took place with sanctified items, and as it was being built, stage by stage in sanctity. The fear is that a worker might need to lemizgos, to sit down, to take a rest. V'zoga alayu, and he'll rest on, he'll sit down on sanctified materials. Ibona b'kutsha ishtakach b'kamoil b'kotshim. And if the building took place with sanctified materials, and he is using it for his personal benefit, for sitting on these sanctified materials, he would then be found to be in violation of Me'ilah. And since people can't be so careful, we preempt this possibility by insisting on the binyan taking place b'chol. Tanan, we present our Mishnah and a question. Hagizborin shelokhu esoetzim, the temple treasurers that bought wood, moyelin bohen, ve'ein moyelin lo b'shipuyi v'lo b'neviya. There would be me'ilah on the basic wood, but not on the sawdust nor the leaves. Ve'amai moyelin bohen. Well, why should there be any me'ilah? If Shmuel's din is correct, why is there any me'ilah? Hochanami, levit b'choil. So too, why not do the construction with choil, with mundane materials? The dilma boy lemizga v'zagalein v'shtakach dekomoyel b'kotshim. Well, with the same consideration that the workers might get tired, sit down, and end up being in violation of Me'ilah. So if Rav Papa's Hesber is correct, that they were boinin b'choil, then the case featured in our Mishnah of the wood bought by the Gizborin leading to Me'ilah would never arise. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa answers, if we were to be talking about wood bought for some type of later construction, so then you're right. Wood, let's say, bought to store for in anticipation of some type of later construction, that would be acquired from either on credit or using mundane funds. Elokitnan. B'masnisin, the issue featured in the Mishnah regarding the Me'ilah possibility with regard to the wood is Be'etzim Diyome. That's a reference to the wood that would be constructed, used in immediate construction. So that people can be careful from over the course of a couple hours, knowing that the wood that is bought is going to be used immediately in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we could afford, so to speak, to use holy funds in buying that wood. Upon purchasing it, the funds, there would be a pidyon taking place, say a declaration that the sanctity on this on the money would be transferred to the wood, and people would be careful. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Toward the end of the Rashi commentary, I be'etzim demikan ve'ele chochinami klomar. I be'etzim de'ein daita livnosu bebinyan adzman merubo. If we were talking about wood that would be used, would be acquired now, but only used later on, chochinami de'lo makachinon luhu. It is true they wouldn't sanctify the wood ad shivnu bebinyan until it was actually used in the construction. The ikol amechash dumi yosef alein v'komoil, because over a long gap in time, there is a fear that wood just sitting around might be sat upon and thereby a violation of Me'ilah. Ela, ki tanan b'masnisin d'moyalin, the case of the Mishnah that says there is Me'ilah, b'eitzim d'yomei, shedaitoi livnosim b'bayom, the intent is to build it that very day, shelokum, the day on which they purchased it. D'hashto lekol amechash d'mo'osi l'mizga leihon. Under such circumstances, there is no fear that people will sit on it. Since it was used immediately, and as Tosfos adds at the end of the Tosfos commentary, in this short amount of time, people would be careful not to sit on them. So we could, under those circumstances, afford the luxury of buying the wood and immediately transferring the kedusha from the money onto the wood.
and not worry about coming to Mi'ilah. But in general, as Shmuel said, building took place b'chol. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.